I'm a 20-year-old girl working at a Starbucks inside of a local grocery store. Our setup is different from the typical drive-through Starbucks. We're tucked into a cramped corner near the front of the store, and our counter and overall space is really small. The only way in is through the waist-high flapper door at the edge of the counter, or through the door in our back room that leads outside toward the dumpsters. I've been working at this store for about 2 years, so I'm familiar with the people that come in and out. There's a seating area with tables right by the entrance, making them available for anyone walking into the store to linger for as long as they like. My location is a problem with a lot of homeless people hanging out there and doing sketchy things. Some go as far as to sexually harass me on a daily basis. This is something I've reported numerous times to my managers, but they never take me seriously. They actually make jokes about it to my face, and even once said they don't want to deal with my drama and emotions anymore. This made me feel extremely helpless from the start, but I slowly learned to deal with the harassment on my own. After 2 years, I thought I'd grown thick enough skin for whatever bullshit my job throws my way, but something happened to me very recently that has left me completely shaken to my core. It started on a Sunday shift, when a homeless man I'd never seen wandered into the store. I was sure he was on drugs as his eyes were sunken in. He looked like he hadn't slept in days, and he was wearing dirty, raggedy clothes. The first thing he did was sit in the very far corner of the lobby with a couple bags of stuff, just staring at me. I couldn't help but get uncomfortable and stare back at him, hoping I could shake his gaze. The look in his eyes was totally new and strange to me, even after all my encounters with deranged freaks. He did not break eye contact and had an almost angered expression, like he wanted to hurt me. I hated the feeling of being watched, but it was busy as it usually is on Sundays, so I had to look away a lot so I could do my job. After several minutes of this, he suddenly stood up and started yelling loud enough to draw the attention of everyone in the area. He was shouting directly at me over the whole store, saying I had an attitude problem, and calling me really degrading names. I was too shocked to say anything back, so I just stood there awkwardly. This made him grow more frustrated, as he started screaming even louder, now walking up to my counter. I panicked and quickly ran to the department next to me to tell a manager about it. She called store management over, and they finally confronted him. When they asked him what his problem was, he said that my leggings were disrespectful and insulting. I was behind a counter the whole time until I ran away, so I didn't know how he could even see my pants. At least on that day, he left without causing more problems. Unfortunately, he kept coming back. I didn't tell the store manager about him again because they made me hesitant to do so, given how they handled things in the past. The man sat through entire shifts from 5:30 a.m. to 1:30 p.m., spying on me from the corner of the lobby. He brought old paper Starbucks cups and tried to pressure me into giving him refills of drip coffee, but I would decline knowing he never made a purchase. One day, which is the day I'll never forget, he came in and sat in his usual corner. This time, he was wearing a big jacket even though it was 70 degrees outside. He eventually approached me with his same cup asking me for a refill. Then I declined as I usually do. But instead of just walking away, he slammed his fists against the countertop. He looked me dead in the eyes and said, "You're going to hell. People like you don't deserve to live." There was barely any space between us, so I froze, thinking about how I'm going to escape, but there wasn't a single person around to help me. Then, the man reached in his jacket and pulled out a pocket knife. He pointed at my face, repeating the same thing over and over again. He even started walking toward the door to get behind the counter. Panicking out of my mind, I jumped through the serving window. He immediately lunged back over and almost slashed me. I barely managed to get out of the way in time. Then I ran faster than I ever had. There was a storage closet close by, so I dove in there and locked the door behind me. An instant later, as I was scrambling for my phone to call the police, he was banging on the door like a maniac. He kept saying if I didn't open up, he would kill me. I was trapped in there for several agonizing minutes, terrified the entire time that he would somehow find a key and get inside. But thankfully, the police arrived before anything like that could happen. When they got there, he was still standing outside the door with the knife, just waiting for me to get out. He was arrested, but at this point, I don't know if he's sitting in jail or if he's been dumped out on the street somewhere. I never knew what his intentions were or if he was actually going to hurt me, but I'm still extremely frustrated. I know this could have been prevented if my store managers took my claims more seriously. It's been a couple weeks now, and I haven't seen him since. But every time I have to go to work early in the morning, I'm scared he'll be there again. Children say the craziest things. On a day-to-day basis, though, it's easier to believe that a kid is making something up or misinterpreting reality rather than being 100% truthful. This is a story that should remind anyone who has kids to take them more seriously. I live alone with my 5-year-old son. My parents came over to babysit a lot during the day, but at night and early in the morning, it's just the two of us. One day, I noticed he was groggy and grumpy. I asked him if he slept okay, and he said that someone kept him up. Of course, I thought by someone he meant me, and that he was trying his best to subtly tell me to keep it down. I promised I would be quieter after he went to bed that night. However, for the next week, he never seemed to get out of that slump. He would shuffle around the house, making remarks about how mommy talks too much, or how he wanted mommy to stop messing up his room. I asked him multiple times to explain what I was doing wrong so that I could help, but every time I tried talking to him, he would look away and try to hide his feelings. I was worried he was developing some behavioral issues. My fear seemed to be confirmed when I went to wake him up one morning and he was already awake, sitting straight up in bed with a huge frown on his face. That, and his room was an absolute wreck. All his toys and clothes were strewn everywhere, looking like he'd spent all night trashing the place. Understandably, I reprimanded him for staying up past his bedtime and messing up his room. To my surprise, there wasn't any backtalk. All he did was sit there and sulk while I started to pick things up, before I thought to tell him to do it himself. I left the room and went to make breakfast while he got to it. When he came and sat down at the table, he said something that made me stop and think twice. Still upset from earlier, he grumbled, "I wish people didn't have to knock to get in the house. We didn't have a doorbell, so guests and couriers would always knock." I explained what doorbells were, but when I was finished, he asked if I could install a doorbell for his window. This made a pit form in my stomach. I asked him who was knocking on his window, but he just turned and covered his face. Again, I asked him if anyone was coming to his window, but this time he shook his head. I never knew him to lie, so this was a great relief. Something still felt weird, but my mom arrived soon after and changed the whole mood. Then I went off to work. That night, though, I was determined to get to the bottom of whatever was happening. I put him to bed around 8. Then I waited for my usual bedtime around 10. I walked past his door like I was going to bed. Then, about 20 minutes later, I crept out of the room and listened outside his door. That's when I heard it, knocking on the window. I quickly opened the door to see who it was, but there was nobody there. All I saw was my son laying down facing the window. I could tell he was faking being asleep, so I whispered to him to stop tapping on his window. He said, "Okay, mommy." Then I closed the door and let him be. At this point, he was exhibiting more than one maladaptive nighttime behavior, so I found it appropriate to set up a camera in his room. I didn't tell him about it, but it wasn't exactly hidden either. It just sat on his dresser and faced his bed. I did a similar thing the very next night, but this time, I watched on my phone from my bed. I kept an eye on the camera from 10 to 11, but didn't see anything. I had to get to sleep eventually, so I decided to let the motion detector record anything that happened overnight. However, I had some trouble sleeping, so I was still awake when my phone buzzed about an hour later. There was movement in the room. I opened up the app and saw the most haunting image of my life. Someone was crawling through my son's window. The next moments were a blur of sheer panic and rage. I grabbed the club I keep by my bed for defense. Then I rushed to my son's room. I barged through the door to see some masked person in his bed. Not just on it, but under the covers with him. I screamed bloody murder and ripped them out of the sheets. Then I started wailing on them without mercy. It was only when I could finally hear the screams from the person I was beating that I finally stopped, when I recognized the voice behind the mask. It was his mother, my ex-wife. I froze as I realized what I had just done in front of my child. His mother and father had just turned into animals, one literally trying to kill the other right in front of his eyes. They were both sobbing and begging me to stop. but I just couldn't hear it in time. I called the police to let them deal with the rest. My ex was arrested for violating the restraining order I filed against her on my son's behalf. The whole reason we separated and I got full custody was because of abusive things she did when her son was much younger. But I never thought she was still so obsessed with us, and crazier than ever. I know I was within my rights to do what I did, especially considering whatever sick ways in which my ex was trying to influence our son. But I just know it traumatized him beyond belief. He'll be dealing with those awful memories for the rest of his life. If I'd only listened more closely to what he was telling me, it could have been stopped long before it came to the catastrophe that it did.
I went on a Tinder date some time ago while I was adjusting to a new city I'd moved to. I didn't really know anybody there, so I used some online dating apps to see the dating scene around town. I landed one from a girl that seemed just like an artsy hippie type of girl. We had a few exchanges through the Tinder app and then decided to meet up for a drink. I picked her up at her house and she greeted me at the door and gave me a hug. She said the name of a local bar she wanted to go to for us to chat and get to know each other. I told her I would drive and proceeded to my car. The first red flag I noticed was when I walked to my car and opened the door, she had just followed me to the driver's side and was standing behind me staring. I looked at her blankly for about 15 seconds and asked if she was going to get in. She said, "Sure, I would love to," and went the long way to the passenger side around the back of the car. Since I had just met this girl, I figured she had just maybe smoked some weed or something, as I had kind of gotten the vibe she was a bit of a stoner. As I was driving to the bar, she talked in a very low voice, almost as if she was trying to whisper. I'm not hard of hearing or anything, but I had to ask her to repeat herself several times just so I could make out the full sentences she was saying. When we got to the bar, I made sure we got a seat closer to the back, away from most people, just so I could have a little quiet in order to hear. The conversations honestly carried on as normal from this point, and it was actually a fun time for the time being. We talked about different things we were interested in, and she did bring up that she did recreationally smoke weed and a few other tripping substances, like shrooms and such. I'm not much a fan of these, but it at least made me relax in the back of my mind to think maybe she was just high off weed, and that rationally explains some of the out there behavior. Granted, I had a few drinks at this point, so I was honestly not thinking straight. I asked her if she wanted to go to my place after drinks, and she agreed. When we got there, we had a few more drinks, and then she started talking about her jewelry. This is where it gets weird. She told me her jewelry was her big secret, and it defined her. When I asked her why it was so important, she said, "I'm actually Anastasia, and I was never killed in Russia. My jewelry is my link to my past." It was hard for me to take that seriously at this point with how much I drank, so I kind of challenged that statement using the little bit I knew about history. At this point, she freaked out and started yelling at the top of her lungs about how I don't respect ancestors in history. Then she got quiet and tiptoed right up to me and grabbed me by the neck. She then brought my face eye to eye with hers while still holding my neck. She says at this point, "I'm a shaman and I will curse you. My ancestors have destroyed many people and you do not respect that. You are from oppressive ancestors and they will be punished." Then she put her hand in a whiskey glass and made a cross on my face and kissed my forehead. At this point, I started to sober up a little. I talked her into calming down, telling her I was only joking. And then she slowly started getting back to normal. Then she started talking about her cat fetish. She tells me she has a list of people who she tames to act like cats. I'm not about judging people on their fetishes, so I listen. She then tells me about all the things she does to them and starts acting like a cat in my living room. If she had not yelled at me earlier on, I might have been almost turned on by it. My red flags in my head were tingling like crazy at this point, so I just listened and tried not to set her off. She noticed sage on my kitchen counter and asked me to light it and bless the house. I use sage to make my house smell better occasionally. It's kind of a ritual I like to do, but it's mine and my own. Something I take very personally and like to do myself. I tell her no, she can't light it, and that it's my thing to do on my own. She freaks out, telling me I'm a horrible human being and screaming all over the place. I told her I can take her home now, and she runs to the door and goes outside. As I get outside, she is screaming at the top of her lungs that I am a horrible person and I should go die. I tell her she can walk herself home then, and I go back to my place and lock the door. She then starts banging on the door hard in about 10 minutes, saying she left her phone in there. I grab her phone off the kitchen counter and open the door to hand it to her. She tries to barge inside, and I block her with my forearm. She acts like she's about to punch me. I just hold my ground and tell her she's not coming in. She screams she wanted the whiskey bottle we were drinking from, and I told her hell no because I paid for the damn thing. I slam the door at that point and lock it. I hear her bang on the door for a minute, then her footsteps going down the stairs. I waited about an hour and then went walking outside to see if she was still hanging around. I didn't see her, nor did I ever see her again after that. I know this is probably not the scariest encounter ever, but for the next few nights, I was creeped out. Always walking around the area I live to make sure she wasn't hanging around. Honestly, I hope she's okay wherever she is, but I hope to never see her again. I was dating this guy for a while and really liked him. Long story short, he said he couldn't see himself marrying me, but still wanted a date. So I broke up with him. A little bit of time went by and I decided to get back into the dating pool, on Tinder, even though I hate dating apps. Matched with this guy named Chad. Good looking, educated, sense of humor. After a couple of weeks, we exchanged numbers and continued chatting. We discussed meeting several times, but our schedules clashed. One day, Chad texts me and asks to Venmo me some money to treat myself to a couple bottles of wine. Sounds awesome. I oblige. He also asks if I'd like to come over to his house after work. Says other people will be there. No pressure if I feel uncomfortable. Etc. I actually didn't feel weirded out at all by this point, and I carry, so I agree. I bring the wine and head over to Chad's after work. He's there, and two of his friends are too. They all seem perfectly nice and normal. First weird thing, four total kitchen cabinets are completely ripped apart and smashed. This is a newer kitchen, nice cabinets. I inquire about the damage, and Chad says he was mad, so he punched them. Decided to not say anything about it. I grab an unopened beer for myself, then a coffee. Everything else is fine until I'm done with the coffee. One of the friends leaves, and a few minutes later, it's like someone has flipped a switch on Chad. He completely loses his shit out of nowhere, throws a metal bar stool across the house, screaming like a lunatic child, chucks his phone into the kitchen wall. The remaining friend steps outside to smoke. Chad comes up to me out of nowhere and bites my leg. I hit him in the leg, and he stops momentarily and then bites me again. I hit him in the head hard as shit this time, and he stops. I ask for the bathroom, and he walks over to show me, and I don't know how else to explain this, but he quite literally hurls himself up into the air in the hallway and lands flat on his back outside the bathroom door. Chad then gets mad that he has hurled himself onto the floor and punches a hole through the adjacent wall. I politely excuse myself to the restroom in utter shock. I come out of the bathroom. Chad approaches me and starts crying. Absolutely wailing. Going on about how his father is sick. This is a terrible time in his life, blah blah blah. I'm ready to get the heck out, but I'm also concerned this guy may actually hurt someone, and at the time felt some sort of responsibility to try to prevent that. I calm him down some, and Chad's friend comes back in. The friend is suggesting that we go fishing. Chad says he will, but would prefer to stay at the house to get to know me better. No way in hell. I agree to fishing so I can follow in my car and bail. Walking outside, Chad's friend gets in the driver's seat of Chad's car. I walk around and let the friend know I will be following in my car. They're cool with it. I get in the car. The door is still open. Chad realizes I am not in his car, storms over, and demands and begs I ride with him. He is completely adamant, but I stick to my guns and refuse. He says to go the heck home then, and slams my car door shut. He then gets in the passenger seat of his car with his friend, and they drive off. I sit for a few minutes, calming down, processing, and pulling up GPS to go home. I start driving through the neighborhood, make it around three corners, and stop dead. Chad is standing in the middle of the road facing me. He runs up my car at full sprint and slams both hands on the hood as hard as he can and runs them down like some sort of horror movie scene. He then runs over to my side, tries opening my door and rear door, and screams for me to open them. I decline. He punches my window, then the rear. I slam it in reverse and floor it around the corner as he chases me on foot. Slam the car back in drive and peel out of there as fast as I can. I see the friend pulling back into the neighborhood and honk, but I don't slow down. I heard him yell sorry as I drove by. The next day, Chad's friend found me on Facebook and messaged me, apologizing and saying he had never seen that behavior before. Chad also texts me and tries to apologize, saying his friend told him that he went psycho and he doesn't remember anything. I tell him he's lucky I didn't shoot him and to never contact me again. I have permanent bruises from the bites.